Get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up, you're gonna hear some amazing stories. I'm gonna take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. Before we dive into today's show, let me tell you why I'm ecstatic that Brad is able to tell his story today. Brad is a graduate of Appalachian State University in North Carolina. He attends Hope Community Church with Pastor Mike Lee, and he is a professional videographer and photographer. He is actually serving at Sit Means Sit Dog Training, where he enjoys combining his love for dogs with his love for photography and taking lots of photos for families and their pets. Brad is a one-trip alumni of Global Hope India, and I can't wait for you to hear about his trip to India on today's show. Brad, welcome to Missions Change My Life.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So we have Justin here from Manipur, India. He's our international travel manager. He's co-hosting. Mm-hmm. And Brad, we have a very special guest for you. Courtney, our operations and team manager for Global Hope India, is also in the call.
Yay.
So we knew that Brad might be a little bit of a trouble interview. So we are, we stacked up on you, Brad.
Called in to the guys.
Nah. We wanted to bring the whole team because it's a high honor to have you, Brad, on the phone. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. So we are recording this over the phone because we are under a global pandemic. Everyone knows it's COVID-19. Brad, you had any exposure or anyone you know tested positive?
No, I haven't. Haven't known anyone personally.
Yeah. Were you impacted as far as your employment or anything earlier or still today?
I was for a while. I was out of work or just very reduced at work. So I was on unemployment for, you know, a month or two.
Wow. Okay.
So,
but you're back at work now?
I'm back working now. Yeah.
Earlier before the call, you were telling me that you've had to make quite a few adjustments in 2020. It's not going the way that you planned it would.
Well, it never does.
Yeah.
We're
settling for the main things now. And the main thing is you're healthy. Your family's healthy. Mm-hmm. You're still eating.
Those,
obviously, our hearts and prayers go out for all of our healthcare workers. Hospitals are filling up in North Carolina. Florida is exploding with the positive cases at the moment. I saw on the news, if Florida was a country, it'd be number 4 in the world based upon the spread of COVID-19. Our hearts are also going out for everyone affected, whether the loss of life, loss of jobs, loss of normal, both in the U.S. as well as India and around the world. Mm-hmm. So, Brad, you're doing okay?
Yeah.
So, any thought of you being back in India in 2020 that you've now had the delay?
I was hoping to be going down towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that maybe early 2021.
Yeah. Make that happen. Yeah, we've now adjusted our hope to that as well. It doesn't seem likely in 2020. We're really hoping and praying in 2021 we'll be able to travel internationally again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, we have Justin and Courtney on the line, and we're going to play Two Truths and a Lie. And Brad has supplied us
the questions. And so, Courtney, you're going to go first. Do you believe, which one is the lie that...
Wait, you have to tell me all three of them.
I'm going to, but you decide one's the lie, and then we're going to let Justin see if he agrees with you or if he chooses.
No, you have to guess.
I know.
You have to guess before he tells you. which one? Yes. Which one is it? Which one's the lie?
You are perfect right now. Brad, you're perfect for this. Okay.
Who's Brad?
We're going to get nowhere.
I know.
And what country are we talking about? Yeah. So, Courtney, which one is the lie?
I'm ready. Okay. Well, if it's up to me to determine the lie, I feel like I'm Maury Povich. We may have to edit that one out.
Okay. Here are the questions, okay, or the facts. Is Brad's first car a Camaro? Was it a Camaro? Is his favorite food pasta, or does he prefer the mountains over the beach? Which one's the lie?
Oh, he's definitely, I'm going mountains over beach.
He is good at this game. So you believe it's mountains over the beach. Justin, which
wait, did you say that because I got it wrong? No. Stop. Wait. Oh, no, that makes it a lie.
I don't know. We're waiting for
Brad. No. I don't think. Wait, you took my answer. I'm just processing. I'm sorry. You got to give me more time. I think that's true. That's not a lie.
Okay. You think that that's true. Okay.
So, what is A and B? Can you repeat that?
His first car was a Camaro, and his favorite food is pasta.
Who knows what their favorite food actually
is? I'm going with B.
I'm going with B as a lie.
Okay, so you believe the lie is his favorite food is pasta. Okay. Justin, which one do you think is the lie?
Actually, the B, pasta. Would be
really?
Copycat. No, you're not allowed.
I was thinking that before you answer, before you reply, I was thinking that.
I think Brad's already hung up. Brad, are you still on the call?
I am.
Yes. Okay, so just solve it for us. Which one is the lie?
Well, you guys were both... Right, actually, I guess I need to go better lies.
His first call.
I'm not a very good liar.
Yeah,
you can't make it so vague. That's where you go. That's where I figured you out, because no one truly knows their favorite food. That's the worst question to answer, in my opinion. Yeah. It's like, what favorite food for today?
So the truth is, Brad's first car was a Camaro, and he does prefer the mountains over the beach. Another random fact Brad is he loves dogs, and we're going to get into that as we hear some of his story, because Brad is a very gifted photographer and videographer, and he is in the process of developing that business. But because he loves dogs, he's also employed at Sit Means Sit dog training. Brad, any insight to that?
Any insight? The dream, get to hang out with dogs all day and take pictures. Been doing that for about 3 years now.
So Brad graduated from Appalachian State University. What was your degree in?
It was electronic media and broadcasting.
Okay. Does that help you in your photography and videography business?
It helped, I guess, launch that. I was a good basis to, there's a lot of different directions you can go with that degree, but I went more of the videography aspect and just went with that.
Yeah.
Just bought a camera after I graduated and just started filming stuff. And eventually people started paying me to film stuff. So
that's always good.
There you go.
That's great. What else should we know about Brad?
What else should we know?
Let's let Courtney ask one question, and then Justin's going to ask one question. Then we're going to dive into the trip. Courtney, what's your question?
I wanted to know how he got a Camaro as a first car.
Wow, that's actually a really good question. So I was about to turn 16. It's actually a funny story. Actually, I was 15, about to turn 16, and I went with my dad. He went out to go look at this old 55 Chevy truck that he was going to purchase and restore. So I went with him, and the guy who was selling that, he had this old beat up Camaro, and I was just sitting back there, and it was trash. But I'd really liked Camaro. And I had mentioned something. I was like, yeah, like I'd like to have, it'd be cool to have a Camaro. And then, so my dad was like, asked him about it, and you know, what's the deal with this car, and like, yeah, 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 what does it need? And he's like, oh, it needs like a whole new engine. It was wrecked. It was beat up. And the guy was just like, and he's like, yeah. And I think his wife or someone was like, that thing needs to get out of here. It's sitting here for years. And so my dad was like, well, if I buy this truck, we should go in this beat up Camaro. And he was like, yeah. So we took it home and restored it. Took a lot of work. It was a project car, but that was my first car.
Wow. Nice. So,
that's a great story. Mm-hmm. Father-son bonding project and a car.
Do you play any sports?
I do. I do play sports. I grew up playing baseball and basketball. Basketball was always my favorite sport. Now that I'm older, play too much ball, but I play any tennis. I like to play tennis. I actually just joined a kickball league. I've been playing kickball.
Wow, versatile.
Yeah, so that's been fine until I pulled my hands.
I've played dodgeball before. Is that a sport? Probably not.
Dodgeball, I'd say that is a sport.
Yeah, I didn't know kickball was a sport, except for elementary school, but that's cool.
Yeah,
I could probably do that. Courtney, let's not laugh too much. Okay, let's dive in. Courtney, you're going to drum roll with the trip, so let's get to
let's talk about India. Yeah, so Brad, where did you go? Tell us what you did. You know, give us the gist of your trip.
We went to Orissa. I've been to India once so far. So we went to Orissa to New Life Ministries there. It was, we stayed at this orphanage. They had over 200 kids, I think, 200 kids there. And a lot of kids.
What was your purpose for the trip? Did you guys have like a specific vision for what you were going to do?
I went with a photography team, with a group of photographers and videographers. And then there was one graphic designer. There was five of us that went.
Is that last year? When was it?
This was actually just a year ago. A little over a year ago.
I think you guys got back on the 2nd or 3rd of July. So
I think it was like the 6th or 7th. Because we were there for 4th of July, I remember.
Oh, true. Okay, yep, you're right.
A year ago, I was just probably still recuperating.
Now's perfect timing, because you don't want to answer these questions 2 days after you land. You're jet lagged and you're still processing. So I'm glad you've had a year to some of these questions.
I'm still processing. I mean, all these memories have been popping up on my phone from a year ago. And it's just, I'm just like, take me back. I want to be back.
Yeah, I hear that. Is there like a specific memory or like a funny story or something that just really makes you smile or makes you feel like a different emotion?
These are deep questions, Courtney.
Take a deep.
Well, just think of it in this context. Sometimes it helps. What is one of the stories you continue to repeat as you talk to people about India?
Yeah.
So I guess my biggest takeaway, or the biggest thing I like to talk about started, months before. Like, it was the months leading up to the trip. Not actually, being there was, incredible, but I was really on the fence about going to India. I had heard from a friend about, there was a group of photographers and videographers that were going, and I was like, I fit that category. So I looked into it and I reached out and talked to Amanda, who was leading the trip, and she'd been two or three times before and just was really passionate and really inspiring. It was really inspiring talking to her, but I was just thinking in the back of my head, just like, this isn't for me. Like, India, not, I was like, there's no way I'm going to end up going on this trip. But I said the right Christian thing was like, I'll pray about it. And she was like, I'll pray about it too. And I did. And I'm sure she did too. Cause it became very clear God was telling me to go. So I resisted for the longest time, the deadline. It was past the deadline to sign up, but I was just I kept feeling like God just pushing me to just go. So I did, and it was definitely the right thing to do. And I remember, like, when we first arrived at the, I mean, it was such a long journey. Two long plane rides, right. A couple short plane rides, and then I won't even get into the train. Yeah. But then we finally got there. It was like 3 a.m, and we drove into the orphanage, and all the kids were up and like waiting to greet us, which is incredible. It was like, I mean, we're all out of it, but like, it was just amazing that they were all there, and they greeted us and gave us a lei and like a little sweet handwritten note welcoming us from one of the kids. And it was, I still have it today.
Yeah, I've received several of those. They're always a great blessing.
Yeah.
When you're so far away from your family and all of a sudden there's a handwritten note on your pillow waiting for you.
Did you connect with any one specific like person or kid?
You know, there's just one. There was several. I remember actually the first day, that the next day when, you know, after we slept and were able to actually spend some time, there was one girl that I guess, you know, was, I guess, drawn to me. And this girl was just, I could just tell she was desperate for like a father figure in her life. And it just broke me like so bad. And I was just like, you know, I wanted to be there for her. I knew that I couldn't fill that role, and that hurt me so bad. But it was, I think, like the next day, you know, I realized, you know, that's not why I was there. I'm not there to fill that role. So it was very comforting to realize that, but it's just like it breaks you. You know, see these kids, but it ended up, honestly, I think they taught me a lot more than I taught them. And just seeing like the way they live. I mean, they're so smart, so spiritual. So like these kids, you know, they get up, first thing they do is they go to the church and pray, and they go to school and then pray some more. They have prayer time at night. I remember going like, you know, help them with their homework, and I was so inspired, like being able to communicate with these kids. And like I've been to Nicaragua several times before, and you know, I can speak a little Spanish, but I mean, all the kids, I mean, could communicate with them, or most of them. It's like the older ones, like English was their third language, and you know, I was able to talk to them, which I thought was incredible.
And now imagine yourself on the Ford Mission Field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Come on now, I'm ready.
Hey team, gather around. Before we go out into the program today, I want to encourage you with this word, provision. I want you to hear that word. Let the Holy Spirit bring it into your spirit. Hear your Heavenly Father declare provision over you. I want you to look at one of the funniest stories in the Bible out of Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's the parable of the persistent widow, and it's easy for you and I to miss the humor in it, but just listen. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her consistent request." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his people who cry out to him night and day? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who will have faith? I want you to allow God to increase your faith about his willingness and his ability to provide. Hear the word provision. You know, in coming on this mission, we had to raise support. And the Bible makes it clear, either we go or we send or we're disobedient in the Great Commission. When we ask people to join our support team, we're empowering people to obey. We are honoring God as we're calling people to send us out as missionaries. You might think, I don't like asking for money. And that's just where we need to get over our pride. Maybe we have the ability to self-pay and we don't have to ask for money. But even then, we should consider fundraising for projects on our mission. Ask with intentionality of following up. Communicate your goals and your deadlines. Always communicate with gratitude, not desperation. We need to understand that asking is like packing our bags for our mission trip. You remember doing that? But getting our butt in a plane is really what gets us there. And so when it comes to support raising, many people focus on packing their bags, but not necessarily boarding the plane. But that's what it takes to get here where we are today on the mission trip. We need to understand that provision is not personal. It honors God. It's not about us. It's about his character. We need to believe and receive, the Bible says. Where God guides, he provides. And celebrate now, not only when our funding comes in. We need to celebrate now, not only when our funding comes in. God is faithful now. And so we can give thanks in advance. You remember doing that as we support raised, and now you're here. So look at God's provision. Think of his provision today. Celebrate his provision. And now the test continues. As we go out, we're going to face people in desperate need for miracles. And so realize that we serve a God whose character is to be a faithful provider. Think of the word provision today and believe on the Lord. Today, as we go out into our program, I encourage you to think of the word provision. Are you ready? Let's get out there. Ready, set, go.
Want tools to help increase the effectiveness of your church's efforts to reach the internationals in your community? Global Hope India has 20 years experience and wants to share our successes and failures with you and your team through resources like this podcast and those offered at globalhopeindia.org. Reach out today.
We want to give some local love to the IT gurus at Wingswept in Raleigh, North Carolina. Wingswept is a B2B technology services company that focuses on leveraging technology to meet your business objectives. Not only do they love to maximize your technology ROI, but their founders, Jay and April Strickland, invest a portion of their profits for gospel expansion ministry. We recognize them for their witness for Christ and their corporate practice of generosity. Check out their website today at wingswept.com.
So you went to India just based on, I mean, obviously you prayed about it, your passion, but really with the skill set that just hearing a photography team probably is what drew you in, is what I'm hearing. And now just knowing your story and just knowing you, now you're looking at taking another team back. So what changed to, you know, you went from doubting whether or not you were supposed to go, and now it's, should I lead more people to go? What would you say to someone that was in your shoes before you first went?
Someone and that's on the fence about going on their first trip?
Yeah. That's, you know, just wondering why India, could I be useful, you know?
Okay, I'm trying to think about, you know, how can I keep this brief? Because prayer is huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really did pray about it. And I know, like, I asked other people to pray about it. And I just didn't expect, I don't really know what I expected. You know, I guess affirmed a lot of things for me. I think that was the big thing, is living a life of faith is not easy. It's not an easy thing. I mean, if you look in scripture, I mean, there's so many examples of people acting in faith. I mean, Abraham, Moses, I can't even think of one. I mean, I guess Abraham, Isaac is like the one that sticks out. God asks us to do hard things sometimes, and we just have to trust that it's going to happen.
And it just seems like you have just even having a posture of being willing to ask and being willing to put that on the table, knowing that a yes may be coming, I think is probably a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Even though, honestly, I'm trying to think back to, you know, when I first looked into this trip, I don't even know if it kind of took me off guard. I didn't really expect to get a yes. I thought that I could just kind of ignore it, maybe, and it would go away. And it's, you know, sad to say, I think a lot of Christians live like that. I feel like just kind of going with the motions, not really moving forward, but I can't really, you know, want to.
Yeah, we can get complacent in what we're doing. And,
but I'm trying to figure out how to best answer the question. I can't really.
No, you're doing great.
Yeah,
you're doing great.
That's a great answer. And I admire you for the courage that you are testifying of. Because you're right. It does take a boatload of courage.
I guess.
And you took that but, get courage.
But there's, I guess what I'm trying to say is whenever some people, and I was kind of questioning this back then, I'm sure a lot of people question this, is like, is this God like pushing, is this God or is this me? Like, and when God is asking you to do something and you do it, he always affirms that somehow.
That's like, very true. Very, very true.
And that was like, you know, as soon as we got there, got to India, it was like, 100%, like a God thing. Like he just affirmed, like I knew, like with beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And even though like I didn't really know why, and I still don't know why, but I just knew that I was supposed to be there. Is leading up to going on this trip, I think I was reading Joshua a lot. And reading the story of Joshua and leading the people into the promised land back in Numbers. And I remember reading this when they sent out 12 spies to go scope out the land. And one of them was Joshua. They came back, you know, they went out, they saw that it was good. They saw there was fruit and they came back and all the spies gave the reports and that, you know, that was good. But then they started looking at all the obstacles. They said, you know, the walls were huge and fortified and there were giants there. Like we can't possibly, you know, do it. Mm. And then two of them, you know, Caleb and Joshua, the two that spoke and said, it's like, yeah, we can't, we have God on our side. Like, we can do it. I mean, just have to have faith. They were outnumbered, you know? And I was just thinking, just reading that as I was leading up to going on this trip. And you know, that was one of the ways God was speaking to me. It was like, just have faith and go. And we know the end of the story, you know, Joshua was the one that ended up leading the people. It was, you know, 40 years later, but you know, the 10 that didn't believe, you know, they didn't get to go into the land, but, you know, Caleb and Joshua did because they believed and they had faith. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as I'm reading this, and I feel like God's speaking to me, like, to go and still speaking to me, but, like, the, you know, crazy thing, like, when I was in India, like one of the girls that was on the trip with me, like some of the kids were asking her, you know, about we were asking about our family, and they were asking her, she was like, and I just overheard her talking. She was saying, yeah, like I have two brothers back home, and their names are Caleb and Josh. I was like, wow. Like, I guess this felt like, I was like a God moment. Like, just one of the ways he was affirmed that I was supposed to be there.
That's really cool.
Yeah, God is so into details.
Yeah, God's awesome.
How's your life different as a result? Like, this was not your first mission trip. Missions in general, how has God used missions to change your life?
Honestly, it's just given me a different perspective. I think there's not really one particular thing. I think there's multiple facets to this. I have like a whole new perspective on how I see the world, mm-hmm. and how it's kind of a hard-hitting question.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, because, like, you're doing a great job. Like, even you sharing about processing the little girl's cry for a father, and you having to process that's growth. And that's really what we wanted to bring out on the show. Do you have a one word that really sums up your mission trip experience? Like, what would be the word that you came away with? Yeah, faith.
Okay. Faith.
Yeah, that's
just
a great word.
Have faith.
You want to break that down for us? Like, how has your faith grown as a result of going on a mission trip?
Like I said, like it was a hard ask for me to step out and go. And I felt like as I was there, and since I've been back, I feel like the way God grows your faith, it's always being tested. You know, in order for it to grow, you need to test it. These steps of faith, it gets harder and harder. And I knew that. I felt that. And I was like, I'm just trying to process. I remember thinking, like, you know, a year from now, like, I'm going to look back at this and think, wow, that was easy. But at the time, making that decision, like, it wasn't easy.
So how you will encourage to someone that who never been to India for mission trip? So how you will encourage them to go to mission trip to India?
I would say, be fearless and pray. Don't be afraid to ask others to pray for you and pray with you. Because that was, a big thing, like letting other people get involved in your life. And, it's not like just something you need to think about. That bringing up with your small group, with your family, people that are close to you, and tell them you're thinking about it, thinking about going, and to pray, but really do it.
I'm glad you said that, because we're going to close out the show in prayer. I'd love for you to just lead us. You said your word, takeaway word, is faith, and I'd love for you just to pray faith over our audience. Prayer is one of our pillars of Global Hope India. We call people to pray, give, and go. And we really believe that change starts with prayer, and that a really life-changing mission trip is really a concert of prayer. So I'm really glad that you brought that out. Will you just lead us in prayer as we close out the show?
Absolutely. Dear God, I just want to thank you for just the opportunity to go and just be a part of this organization, and just be a part of just your works, God, and just want to pray, for anyone who needs it, who's maybe questioning their faith. I just want to pray that over them, and just think of all the people in your holy word, the Abrahams and the Moses and the Pauls and just the Peters. It's obvious. It's not an easy thing to have faith, and we need to grow our faith. We need to be growing it every day. And I just pray that over the listeners today, and over anyone, especially as thinking about maybe taking a step to go. I just pray that over them.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Really, one of the things that you brought out in the show, whether you realize it or not, is just sometimes we have to take a step of faith and say, God, if this is your voice, I want to obey it. And what you just testified to is that as we do that, he is very faithful to affirm that it is him mm-hmm. who calls. Thank you mm-hmm. for answering the call and for going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much.
You did great, Brad. You did great.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/missions and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.